We'll be taking a break from our study of the book of Ephesians. So please turn with me to Joshua 13. We'll be reading verses 1 to 7. Joshua 13, 1 to 7. This is God's word. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years when the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and very much of the land remains to be possessed. This is the land that remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all of those of the Geshurites, from Shihor, which is east of Egypt, even as far as the border of Ekron, to the north, it is counted as Canaanite. The five lords of the Philistines, the Gazite, the Ashdodite, the Ashkenalite, the Gittite, the Ekronite, and the Avite, to the south, and all the land of the Canaanite, and Mara, that belongs to the Sidonians as far as Aphek, to the border of the Amorite, and the land of the Gebelite and all of Lebanon toward the east from Baal God below Mount Hermon as far as Lebo Hamath. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon as far as Misrephoth Mayim, all the Sidonians, I will drive them out before the sons of Israel. Only allot it to Israel for inheritance as I have commanded you. Now, therefore, apportion this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and the half-tribe of Manasseh." Thus far, the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Let's pray together. O Lord, we thank you for this ordinary means of grace and ask that you would soften hard hearts and deepen the worship of those who follow you diligently. Help us all, O Lord, to receive of your grace this morning in word and sacrament. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua may have been old, but the Lord still had work for him to do. He may not have been able to wield a spear like he did in his younger days, but his usefulness to God continued. As you are likely aware, Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies in Numbers 13 sent out to spy the land shortly after crossing the Red Sea, Israel crossing the Red Sea. They brought back a good report, but the other 10 spies saw God's promised land with their eyes, but the eyes of unbelief. And so because of them and because Israel failed to believe God and go forward in faith to possess the land, that whole generation was doomed to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So though Joshua and Caleb were faithful to God, they had to endure those many hard years in the desert with the rest of Israel. So the question is, well, just how old was Joshua here in chapter 13 that we read a minute ago? Well, Caleb states in Joshua 14:7 that he was 40 years old back in the second year of the Exodus when Moses sent him to spy out the land from Kadesh Barnea. Joshua was a bit younger than Caleb, roughly in his early to mid-30s at that time. A few verses later in Joshua 14:10, Caleb declares that he is 85 years old and explicitly notes, "It has been 45 years since the Lord spoke this word to Moses." So just to be clear, there's 40 years of wandering in the desert, plus 5 to 7 years of conquest after, well, when they went to possess the land in the first several chapters of Joshua, which means that approximately 45 to 47 years have elapsed from being sent out to spy the land in Numbers 13 to the parceling out of the land here in Joshua 13. So that would make Joshua roughly 80 years old. Joshua was the one whom God called to be Moses' successor to lead the next generation out of the wilderness into the land of promise. Joshua was chosen and filled with the Spirit while Moses was still alive, Numbers 27. The transfer of the authority was witnessed by the whole congregation in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And upon Moses' death, God directly commanded Joshua to arise and lead, confirming that the mantle had passed to him in Joshua 1. So that's like a little timeline just to help you remember what we're looking at here. And so in Joshua 1, God says this, but I've just taken a certain shorter passage to represent the Joshua's whole charge in chapter 1. God tells Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, so that you may have success wherever you go." And so Joshua was an exceptional man of faith with a unique call of God on his life. He was called to lead Israel as a great commander in battle, to dispossess the Canaanites and take the land of promise which the Lord God gave to Israel. And so in this unique sense, Joshua foreshadowed Jesus Christ, who came to conquer all his and our enemies unto the glory of God. He's unique in that way. Yet, at the same time, Joshua was a mortal just like the rest of us. Time passed. The clock kept ticking. Joshua could then later in his life look back over those years of conquest and praise the Lord for his faithfulness. He saw the Red Sea part in its youth, in his youth. He saw Israel cross the Jordan at flood stage. He watched as Israel shouted on that seventh day as the walls of Jericho fell. He remembered how God held the sun at midday in answer to prayer, and how all those kings of Canaan fled in battle before him because the Lord was fighting on behalf of Israel. But all those exciting times are behind him now. Should Joshua just let pass the rest of his life rocking in a chair, sentimentalizing over that past? No. Should he nurse old resentments, as for example, resentments over those 10 other spies who gave a bad report and made him waste 40 years wandering in the wilderness? No. Should he just go in a corner and shrivel up into a ball and focus on his sins and shortcomings and regrets, like when he failed to consult the Lord regarding the Gibeonites in Joshua 10? No. Joshua's glory days might be behind him, but his usefulness to God continues. Joshua may be old, but the Lord still has work for him to do. Israel still has more land to possess, but before they take it, God commands Joshua to portion out the land according to each tribe's inheritance. It's a lot more difficult than it sounds. He must serve the Lord until all the work the Lord has given him to do is completed. So in light of what God says to Joshua, commands Joshua in this morning's passage, I think it would be good for us to stop and reflect on the importance of faithfully, actively continuing to serve God in old age, in whatever capacity you are able, till your last breath. Even if that means silent prayer and worship in a hospital bed. This isn't a sermon about trying to get elderly Christians to do 30 pull-ups to prove that they're still spiritually young. That's not what I'm saying here. Whatever your capacity is in old age, serve the Lord. And I have something important to say to the youth as well a little later on. So the sermon's for everybody. First, notice that the Lord is candid with Joshua. It says twice in the first few verses. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years when the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years." I don't know if that's like humor, but it's like the Lord. Yeah, Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, "You're old and advanced in years." So God addressed Joshua as he was, not some youthfully idealized version of him. He's not like, "Okay, Joshua, grab that sword. You're still young. You still got it. Just flail it around like you always did." No, he's got a different task because Joshua is older now. This is not an idealized version of him. You're old and advanced in years. And I think we are best suited to be used by God when we accept the reality about ourselves as well. What we are and what we are not capable of at the age we are at. The advantages and limitations of age. When we get older, we have the advantages of wisdom and experience and perhaps wealth as well. But we also experience the limitations of strength and agility and maybe crabbiness. God gave Joshua a task suited to his ability and potential. He says, in effect, "Your days of conquest are over. You're too old to fight." Israel will have to tackle that project going forward in the future. "But I still have something important for you to do. Divide up the land and portion out the inheritance." And so I think one lesson we could draw from this morning's passage is no Christian should ever plan to retire from serving the Lord. No Christian should ever plan to retire from serving the Lord. Ah, I'm too old to serve the Lord. No, you're not. I remember several years ago visiting a dear elderly lady, Helen Martin, when we were serving the Lord in South Dakota. By the time I met her, she was not well and advanced in age. Eventually she was confined to a bed. And so she was in a nursing home, and I'm suspicious that she was not always cared for as one would have liked her to have been cared for. But she always had a sweet attitude in the Lord in spite of her enduring frustrations and illnesses. And without her likely ever realizing it, the Lord used her to teach me patience and kindness when faced with frustrations and less than ideal circumstances. I was visiting her and I learned something from her. The Lord used her simply by maintaining Christian character sincerely in the midst of all that pain and frustration. Even if and when a Christian is confined to a wheelchair and can hardly talk, they are still witnesses to Christ by how they carry themselves, their deportment, how they treat other patients, how they interact with the staff. If God can use the thief dying on the cross to testify to his mercy and grace in the last moments of his life, then surely God can use any of us in whatever condition old age brings us. Do you agree? The prophet Isaiah declares in chapter 46, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, and even to your gray hairs I will carry you. I have made you, and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you." Just because we're getting old doesn't mean God is getting old. Just because we're getting feeble and a little cloudy in our thinking doesn't mean God is. Number 80, "How firm a foundation," puts it this way: "Even down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born." And so I prayed for Helen, and I've prayed for others since, that when a Christian experiences physical ailments and limitations, I pray that though their limitations would not blind them to God's love for them and his continued power and mercy and grace on their behalf and for them. There's something about age and decreasing ability that makes us want to think that God is aging and decreasing in ability with us. And that's simply not true. So God is faithful to be our God, just as he says through the prophet Isaiah there. Even when you can't do all the things you used to do when you were younger, even when you start realizing how foolish you were when you were younger and cringe, God loves you because he chose to love you. His love for you isn't based on how handsome or strong you were when you were younger. He loved you because he loved you. And his love for you isn't based on your youthfulness or your usefulness to him. And so it's this understanding that puts you in the proper frame of mind to serve God in your advanced years. And again, even in your younger years, and I'll get to that in a minute. God isn't letting Joshua retire from walking in faith and doing things for the kingdom. Neither does the Lord allow us to use old age as an alibi for spiritual apathy. The Lord does not allow us to use old age as an alibi for spiritual apathy. Just because we can't do what we used to do doesn't mean we do nothing. For example, in 1 Timothy 5:5, Paul is instructing the church in the care of widows, but not without adding an admonition, reminding widows to mind themselves in the things of the Lord. He writes, "Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless." And so, regardless of our age, the Lord still calls us to walk before him and be blameless, just as he called Abraham to do. Luke describes Anna the prophetess as an elderly, godly widow who met Joseph and Mary when they brought the baby Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord in Luke 2. And we are told in verse 36 that she was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. So based on rabbinic texts and archaeological evidence from the first century Palestine, it's safe to say that Jewish girls were typically married between the ages of 12 and 17, with the majority marrying at about age 13. So if Anna was, let's say, 15 when she was married and then was married for 7 years, that would mean she was widowed and then remained an unmarried godly woman for over 60 years. Over 60 years. I'm going to church. I'm praying. I'm fasting. I may not be able to do other things that I was able to do when I was younger, but the Lord still has something for me to do. I'm going to do it. She's not in danger of being like those widows spoken of in 1 Timothy 5. 60 years, a godly woman. That's benchmark, not an exception. That's benchmark by the grace of God. She wasn't a busybody. She wasn't a gossip. She didn't act like a queen holding court every time she sat down, but she busied herself with the things of the Lord. And the Lord honored that. Here we are, some 2,000 years later, reading about her in Scripture. What an honor. What a testimony. Well, the same thing that goes for widows, properly understood in the right respect, also applies to elderly men. And if I may be respectful but bold. Few things debase our church witness more than dirty old Christian men who should know better. Any man making a claim to godliness, young or old, needs to be above reproach, temperate, prudent, respectable, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, and free from the love of money. If you're astute, you'll notice that I left out certain things that only apply to church officers, but I think these qualities can be expected of all Christian men, elderly Christian men especially. And so, elderly men, or I should say men advanced in age, don't let yourself fall into the rut of idleness or cynicism or bitterness. But like Joshua, stand up as a seasoned patriarch and be able to declare to your clan with a clear conscience. Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. You have to have a platform on which to say that. You have to be able, when you say that, to be taken serious. You can't be these other things that I mentioned. We exhort our young people to be active and faithful in serving the Lord while they pray for guidance and wisdom regarding their futures, and rightly so. But the elderly have a good reason to pray as well. Psalm 92:12 is but one reminder that our usefulness to the Lord extends beyond our physical horsepower. Psalm 92:12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. When you're advanced in age, you can still declare that the Lord is upright. You can still bear spiritual fruit. To be sure, Joshua had a unique and extraordinary role in the history of redemption. In his leadership in the conquest of Canaan, Joshua, as I said, did foreshadow Christ who would come to conquer all his and our enemies. Yes, yet in another sense, he is a model of lifelong faithfulness unto the Lord. And so here is my challenge to the youth in this morning's passage. Young people, live for the Lord with an eye toward a lifetime of faithfulness. Don't live to see how much you can get away with. See how much the Lord can use you. Young people, live with an eye toward a lifetime of faithfulness. What am I going to be like when I get 50, 60, 70, 80? You don't want to be someone that looks back with regret after regret after regret. And we understand the Lord is merciful and he forgives us our sins. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm like, you know what I'm talking about. Being able to stand there and have a platform and say, the Lord is upright in all his ways. Take your place as a patriarch among your clan and with authority speak to your clan. We are serving the Lord. And that's the way it's going to be. And what does that mean? Living with an eye toward a lifetime of faithfulness means not living for the moment. Not just living for the next adrenaline rush or the next pretty face or just, yeah, this is going to be great, but it's like cotton candy. As soon as I eat it, it's gone, and then in a few minutes, I'm going to have a massive stomach ache. Young people, don't bury your life with regrets. There's more to life than doing something foolish for a few YouTube clicks, for a few extra followers. Young people, don't get wrapped around someone else's little finger because of financial debt. And if I can just be frank, respectfully, young guys, you would be surprised how quick and easy it is without that girl you're so fond of that you could never live without. If it requires that you commit yourself to the Lord and forsake your idols. Do not let a pretty face come between you and the Lord. It's not worth it. Think long term. Joshua was faithful to the Lord in his youth, and that faithfulness paved the way for a life of satisfaction and service in the Lord, and ultimately brought him across the finish line to his eternal reward. And so all the glory goes to the God of grace. And so back to those advanced in age like Joshua. The Lord understands agedness. He is aware. He knows your capabilities and limitations. And he says to you, very much of the land still needs to be possessed. And so Joshua bore fruit in old age. And so ought we, because the Spirit of the Lord causes us to be fruitful in old age. Keep in step with the Spirit. And again, even the bedridden can give thanks to the Lord in their heart and intercede on behalf of the saints. And that's no little thing. Spiritual productivity is not bound by physical decline. Spiritual productivity is not bound by physical decline. The fruitfulness of old age manifests itself in character and in maturity, the fruits of the Spirit, and consistent worship. The very experience of God's faithfulness over a lifetime becomes a testimony in and of itself. Hey, here's an old guy. He's been around for a while. Let me ask him. And then you can instruct the youth with wise biblical counsel or testify to the Lord that he is good and that there is no unrighteousness in him. Be named among those who are planted in the house of the Lord, who flourish in the courts of our God, who still bear fruit in old age, who are fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright, that he is your rock, and that there is no unrighteousness in him, in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.